This week, we're going to start with something a little different. I've received a few voice messages, so I can actually have a conversation with you. I would love to hear from all of you, so go to Anchor and look for The Great Flood Has Spoken, or look for it on Spotify. And you can send a voice message through the Anchor platform, which is completely free. And you can be in on the conversation as well. Here we go with some of my voice messages.
Just a heads up, I absolutely adore the podcast. One of the main things you touched on with the latest one was about the authenticity. And that's something that I cannot stress enough that you got to keep in your podcast. It's just the realness that is Billy Flood. Keep that going and you got gold, man. Absolutely love it. Keep doing what you do.
Thank you for commenting on authenticity. I think it's something that is lacking a lot in society today, not only from social media to mainstream media, traditional media, television, radio, film, even theater. I think the things that become touchstones for people are things that are authentic, right? That's why in the theater we're getting to people really being attracted to these experiential shows, right? These immersive theatrical pieces like Sleep No More. People are getting tired of just sitting in the dark in a theater and watching people perform in under a proscenium arch and not acknowledge them. They don't want to be voyeurs in that way. They want to participate in the action because it seems more authentic to do that. So something like a Punch Drunk Sleep No More, where it's interactive and you touch the actors and you can open up drawers and wander through doors and move through hallways where you are in control of the action and part of the action, feels more authentic to an audience and is attractive to them. I think that's why we have reality shows that are so popular. People think they're getting more real reactions from people than acting. The true tea is that reality shows have directors and scripts. And one of the things that I had the privilege to do last year was be on set on Bravo TV's Top Chef. And so I know how it goes. Every few minutes they stop and they are in their ears and they talk to the Bravo execs who are downstairs and they get direction from the Bravo execs and then they film it again. So it's just like a scripted drama, folks. It's just called reality television. But anyway, there's the appearance or feel that it's more real, that it's more authentic. So people love reality shows for that reason. And podcasts. My voice is right next to you in your car. I've sort of alluded to this before. I'm with you in your bed. I'm in your shower. I'm on a walk with you outside. I'm at the gym. I'm in your church. Wherever you're listening to me, I'm right next to you. So it seems more intimate and more personal. And therefore, I think it should be completely me, 100% authentic. So thank you. I'm very grateful that you hear authenticity, and this caller, you know me very well, so I think you'd be able to judge whether I'm being authentic or not, so I thank you.
Hi, Billy, this is Laura. I wanted to ask, how do you know that the play or movie or show that you want to watch is equitable and, you know, paying actors and writers and anyone involved in the show fairly? Thanks so much. Bye.
Thanks, Laura, for calling in. How timely this question is, because just recently I was thinking about this. Michelle Williams caused a stir when she joined Nancy Pelosi to speak on Capitol Hill about the Paycheck Fairness Act because it directly hit her when she experienced the pay gap, the gender pay gap in her own life. She was making the movie All the Money in the World, which had to be reshot because it originally starred she and Kevin Spacey and Mark Wahlberg. And of course, once Kevin Spacey was outed as a rapist pedophile, the movie studio reshot the film and replaced him with Christopher Plummer. So they had to do reshoots. And there are union minimums for that. They're both in all those actors in the Screen Actors Guild, but things can be negotiated. And this is why we need to have transparency in pay, right? So Mark Wahlberg was paid, well, I'll say this the other way. Michelle Williams was paid less than $1,000 to do reshoots. You know, she agreed to that. She agreed to that fee. She agreed to that fee in private, right? These pay negotiations are private, and that's how we get into this trouble. Mark Wahlberg was paid $1.5 million to do the exact same reshoots as Michelle Williams. Talk about a gender pay gap, right? So when she found this out, she kind of went ballistic. And she made a big stink on social media, and adjustments were made. Adjustments were made. I haven't Googled right now. Those are the facts as I just remember them. I haven't Googled now to see what the end result was in pay, but they did have to significantly bump her pay up. I think they equaled it out. I believe so. Discernment, somebody check me on that. But she experienced the gender pay gap right there, so then she went on Capitol Hill and lobbied for the Paycheck Fairness Act with Nancy Pelosi. However, to your initial question, how do we know about fairness and pay? Well, thank God, number one, we have unions. So I'm in Actors Equity, AEA, which is a sister union of the Screen Actors Guild, which is the AEA is the Professional Stage Actors Union of Broadway and Regional Theater. So we all make a living wage. Now, Screen Actors Guild is the same way. We have minimums. We have minimums based on contract levels, right? So when you, and the contract level minimums are literally based on what kind of theater you're doing. So whether you're in a TYA, which is Theater for Young Audiences show, or a League of Resident Theater show, what's called LORT, L-O-R-T, or production contract, which is a Broadway contract, production touring contract, which now the production touring contracts have tiers. It used to be you go out on a production touring contract, which is a Broadway tour, you would get paid the same fee as appearing on Broadway, but now they have what's called CETA agreements, or CETA agreements, which are short, S-E-T-A, Short Engagement Touring Agreements. I know all this because I was an equity deputy, so I have to handle all this stuff. The CETA agreements, S-E-T-A, CETA, I could be saying it wrong, but it stands for Short Engagement Touring Agreements. They have tiers, so there's a tier one, tier two, tier three. Those all have to depend on the size of the houses you're playing for, the length of the tour, etc., and they adjust the pay like that. It was to combat non-equity tours, because a lot of non-equity tours were going out with big musicals and equity. The union wanted to combat that, to get producers to say, hey, pay our actors a living wage, put them out on an equity tour, but we'll give you three tiers that pay less. They taper down, right? Anyway, your wages on these contracts depend on the size of the house, meaning how many seats are in the house, how long the show is playing, and what kind of theater it is. So how many seats are in the house depends on what kind of theater it is, right? So a Lort D house means you only have a certain number of seats. A, B, C, yeah, and D. These designations that I'm telling you depend on seating. And that changes how much you're paid, because that changes the capacity of the audience, and that is directly tied to your ticket sales, right? So if you're liable to make more money because you can sell more tickets because your house is bigger, then the actors deserve to be paid more money, right? So that's how that works out in equity, in actors' equity for the stage. Screen Actors Guild is different. Their pay system is totally different. And that's what Michelle Williams is in. And they also, they have minimums, but they also negotiate privately, which you can also do with equity. People also can negotiate higher equity salaries. But these things happen behind closed doors, and that's where we get into our trouble, right? So that was a long way of explanation to answer your question. We don't know. There's no way to be sure that men and women are being paid equally. You have a floor. So everyone has to be paid the floor fee, right? The bottom. But other than that, if you can negotiate up, you can negotiate up. So the answer is we don't. And that sucks. We need more transparency. We need to know what people are making. Yeah, totally agree. Thanks for that question, Laura. It was a good one. Congratulations to Black Excellence, Andre DeShields. This evening won his first Tony Award. He has been performing on Broadway since 1973. He's been acting for 50 years. He is 73 years old, and he's been in, I believe, 13 Broadway shows. It's 13 or 14. I counted on an internet Broadway database, but it's 13 or 14 shows. Acting for 50 years. Just won his first Tony. I'm just going to leave that out there. And then you can look at, you know, some of the other Tony Award winners this evening and see how many Broadway shows they were in, how many years they've been acting, and what color they happen to be. Just looking at the performance of race, you can go back to earlier in my podcast where I combined Regina King and Lady Gaga. They both won Oscars, and Lady Gaga won an Oscar for writing a song, and Regina King won an Oscar for performing. But the fact that Regina King had been in the industry for how long before she won an Oscar? Lady Gaga basically just came on the scene compared to Regina King's career, right? So, just looking at the performance of race there in that situation. However, let's make this about Andre DeShields. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm glad. You know, Billy Porter was on a round table this week from Hollywood Reporter or Variety. Anyway, he was on a round table with, I'm not going to remember all the actors, but they're all straight. Hugh Grant, Idris Elba, a kid from Rocket Man, some other young people. And Billy Porter spilled all the tea. He said, you know, it's not popular to be gay. It's not popular to be a Black gay American. And, you know, the Oscars love to give awards to straight men playing gay characters. He loved to do that. And then the camera shifted to the kid who's in Rocket Man. I'm calling him a kid. Young man, young adult who's in Rocket Man, because he's straight, playing a gay character. But you can't be an actual gay Black person and, you know, receive success and recognition. His whole career, he's been doing this for 30 years. His whole career, he's been told, you know, you're too much of a sissy. I'm quoting him. You're too much of a sissy. They attacked his masculinity. You need to be straight. You need to act straight. You need to look straight to get work. And so with Pose, Billy Porter is finally, after 30 years in the industry, getting the kind of recognition and attention he deserves. He is a sickening singer. He won the Tony for Kinky Boots, as he should have. He's incandescent. I mean, any superlative you can think of, any any adverb, any describing word any adjective that will give him shine and praise, it's all due him. I mean, he is incredible. Incredible. His singing voice will scalp you. I mean, it'll just snatch your edges, your soul, your mind. I mean, he's just insane. So I was glad when he won the Tony, but him finally getting this sort of the bigger platform for representation for queer black men is just amazing. It's amazing, and I'm thrilled to see it. So to Andre DeShields, finally getting the recognition you deserve. You are iconic. You originated the titular role in The Wiz. Like, you were The Wiz. And you're just now winning a Tony for Hadestown. It's a long time coming. You deserved it a long time ago. So congratulations to you. Congratulations to Billy Porter for spilling all the tea and telling the truth that the industry rewards straight people for playing gay and kicks actual gay actors to the curb, because it doesn't go reverse. That's what Billy Porter was really speaking towards, that you don't see gay actors cast as straight and winning awards. It's always the other way around. Always. Tom Hanks in Philadelphia, right? Jared Leto in Dallas Buyers Club. I mean, these folks get nominated, they get appreciated, they get accolades for playing gay as straight actors, because that's a challenge, right, for them. When every gay actor knows how to play straight, you have to work. Every gay actor knows how to play straight. That is nothing. So, just want you to look at those two instances of the performance of race and celebrate the amazing, the talented, the powerful, the enthralling Mr. Andre DeShields, and congratulate him on social media. Wherever you can access him, congratulate the icon, a true icon. I mean, for real. Not, I know we throw the word iconic around everywhere, but the man was The Wiz. That's a true theater icon. I saw this quote the other day online, and I'm going to quote it right now, and I don't know who said it first. And I think it speaks so much to this generation and this moment in the zeitgeist. Everyone's really exhausted, right? I'm going to get to the quote. Everyone's really exhausted. I'm running into people, friends, family, people in social media saying they're just tired. Everyone's tired. And you can point it to the administration, you can point it to the world, whatever, whatever. And you would normally think, well, I'm tired because I'm doing too much. And people say that. You're just doing too much. You're being extra. You're doing the most. You're doing too much. Here's the quote. You are not tired from doing too much. You are tired from doing too little of what sparks the fire inside of you. I'm going to repeat that. You're not tired from doing too much. You're tired from doing too little of what sparks the fire inside of you, or what lights the fire inside of you. I think that's brilliant, and I think that cuts right to the crux of the matter. That's why everyone's Marie Kondoing right now, because we're doing too little of what sparks joy, quote-unquote, right? You're going to a job you hate. You're dealing with people you can't stand at work. And it used to be, a long time ago, you could leave your job and come home to a place of peace. But now with social media, the people that you hate can follow you wherever you go, even into your pocket on your phone, right? So it's like there's no escape from people that drain you, from people, places, situations, events that drain you, follow us all around by our own making. We have cultivated this environment where you never leave work because of email, and you can never leave haters because of social media. So we spend time almost putting out fires everywhere instead of having peace. So my advice to you, dear listener, and my advice to myself is to do more towards kindling that fire inside of you. Do more towards sparking that joy. And please do more than just clean your house. Look, I love Marie Kondo, but you gotta do more than, like, throw stuff out of your house. Go outside and do more. Do more of what sparks joy, Marie Kondo. Do more of what lights that fire inside of you, whatever stokes that for you. And that could be sitting down in a chair and watching Netflix. I don't care. Whatever it is that brings you joy, do it. Do it more. And do less of dealing with people that drain you. Do what you gotta do. Pay the bills, hold it down, take care of business. But do more of what makes you truly smile, of what lights your inner life, your interior life. What delights you? What titillates you? What fascinates you? What makes your brain tingle? Do more of that. The Great Flood has spoken.